has to do with the clarity. And I do believe that, like in any loving relationship, clear communication is key. And I think God wants us to clearly hear. I think God wants us to clearly see. You mentioned it before, just as we were talking before we started. The verses, you know, he who, no, let him, I have it written here even, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who, and that's all throughout Scripture. And God wants us to hear. And he wants us to hear clearly. He wants us to see clearly. So when we're praying for each other, when we are praying for our community, our families, when we are out and about in our lives, to know what is going on in the heavenly realms. As I was thinking about that this week, I was actually practicing, and it takes practice, I think. Like last week we talked about a few of the things that are necessary in order to grow, like humility and correctability and willing to say I was wrong and all that. But I also think it takes practice to hear God's voice and practicing his presence, really. And again, like John said, he is always present. That's when we talk about, I want to enter into your gates or enter into your presence, Lord. We're not talking about the theological reality of God is always present everywhere. He is omnipresent. We're not talking about that. We're talking about his manifest presence and where we can see what is actually going on, where we can hear what he is saying to his churches. I think about Revelation. Let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. And you see this throughout Scripture, God wanting to communicate. And again, we always say, take it back to relationship. And again, a key part of relationship is clear communication. Clear communication. And as an aside, you know, in our marriages, in our workplace, in our friendships, in our families, communication is so key. I run across and I run across it over and over and over again where the main source of problems comes from lack of communication. And there's also main source of problems comes from selfishness and all that too. But like lack of communication. And just hear me out and anyways, and I think that's the same way here. So we want to hear the Lord speaking clearly. In Jeremiah, I think I was trying to find a past sermon where I think I maybe have talked on this, but you guys are used to getting repeats anyways. And I don't do it because I don't do it because I do a cycle, you know. I don't keep notes, so I don't have a cycle. But it's just the Lord brings things up. But in Jeremiah 1:11, the Lord, it's just a little phrase there. The Lord is talking to Jeremiah, and let me get there. I'll just read it as it's written. Jeremiah 1:11, the word of the Lord came to me, and I love this. What do you see, Jeremiah? What do you see? And then he says, I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Little side note, this is one of those examples of God loves puns. Okay, God loves wordplay. Because if you look in your little notes, the Hebrew for watching sounds like the Hebrew for the almond tree. So he sees an almond tree, and God says, I'm watching. Aha, and you hear a little ba-dum-bum in the background in the heavenlies. There's an angel on the drum set. There's an angel on the drum set. Nice. But it's this place of God wants him to see, and he's testing him to make sure he can see correctly. This is what I'm showing you. Now, what are you seeing? In communication and in relationship, it's really healthy when someone starts talking to then all of a sudden pause and say, okay, what did you hear me say? And then the person says, well, this is what I heard you say. And you can find out, okay, no, I didn't communicate that well because that's not what I was saying. And we're not on the same page. And really it's this place of, I see some knowing glances going on in the back. We've all done it, right? Oh, I heard you say this. No, that's not what I said. Well, but okay, let's try again. Let's try again. And eventually, okay, this is what's being said. And God wants the same thing. And I think often, like we talked about last week, God speaks something, we hear something, and it's not exactly what God said. I shared about how, yeah, at Gateway, you know, just praying there or being there a year and a half ago a little bit, I said, I thought we were going to be out of there. And now looking back, I imagine the Spirit of God was saying, Kevin, that's not what I said. But Lord, I heard you say this and this. Yes. But then we jump to a conclusion or we go to a conclusion. And so, Lord, correct me. I want to hear clearly what you are saying. I want to hear your voice clearly. And it's that crystal clearness, that absolute clarity. You know, he wants us to hear. What do you see? Jeremiah 24, he says the same thing to him. Jeremiah 24, verse 3. Then the Lord asked me, what do you see, Jeremiah? Figs. And the good ones are very good, and the poor ones are so bad that they cannot be eaten. So we saw details about the figs. But again, the Lord is asking, what I want to concentrate on is the Lord is asking, what do you see? What do you see? He says the same thing to Amos, just so you know. Amos 8, chapter 1, this is what the sovereign Lord showed me, a basket of ripe fruit. In verse 2 it says, what do you see, Amos? He asked. A basket of ripe fruit, I answered. And then the Lord said to me, the time is ripe for my people Israel. Right? I will spare them no longer. But what do you see? I want my people to have eyes to see and ears to hear. He wants us to know what's going on. Not everything, because I think that would overwhelm us. But as far as our calling, as far as his character, he wants us to know everything about him. But even what he's doing, he wants us to know what's going on here in Niagara. He wants us to know what's going on when we walk in a room. He wants us to know. He wants us to be aware. He wants us to be spiritually aware. So last night, a few of us guys, we got invited. It was that Paul Henderson men's get-together at Orchard Park that we had advertised here. So a few of us went. And it's this place of, Lord, I want to practice. What's going on here in the heavens? Because we can do it in the physical. The band gets up to play some music. I can understand what's going on musically. Oh, the mix isn't that good, or this is too loud, or this is too quiet, or I can't hear this person, or I can hear this person too much. But I don't care about that. That's not what's important. What's going on spiritually, Lord? What's going on in the heavenlies? And not for pride's sake. What Josh shared there is so important. Larry and I were talking about this before when we were just, when they came, and as we were talking about last night, it's not for critical sake. I don't want to be critical. I've done that in my life, and I still struggle with that, and my prayer is that I'd be totally released from that. I don't want a critical heart. It doesn't do anyone any good. It doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do the other person any good. It doesn't do the atmosphere any good. It just puffs me up and tears other people down, and it's garbage. So, Lord, I don't want to be discerning so that I can be critical. I want to be discerning so that I can be wise. And so that I can add to, I can help in the heavenlies. I can be a benefit to the kingdom of God and what's going on. So Lord, and so just trying to discern. Another little bit of homework I was telling Larry before, what I did this week is, so I went to YouTube and looked at the State of the Union address. Trump delivered. I've only gotten a half hour in because, like, it was a little bit tiring. Because political speak is always tiring to me. But although he's refreshingly not as political as some, so it's kind of funny. He seems like fish out of water a little bit. It's cute. But I wanted to listen with my spiritual eyes, or see with my spiritual eyes, listen with my spiritual ears. And so rather than concentrating on so much the content of what he was saying, although I listened to that as well, the content, I'm trying to discern what's going on spiritually. And it's like anything else, you have to practice. And it's like anything else, when you're just starting, it's tiring, actually. It's like using a muscle that you've never used before. It's like a person, I imagine you spent years in a cave, although I haven't spent years in a cave spiritually, because I like the Lord has taught me discernment over the years too, but like you spend years in a dark place even, and all of a sudden you're coming into, trying to enter into a place of light, and it just strains the eyes. I don't know if that's good enough. But anyways, but Lord, I want to see. I want to understand. Because with regards to Trump and the political situation, so many people are saying so many things. Or even you think about the political situation for us in Ontario right now. We have an election coming soon. And man, things hit the fan in the last few weeks. You know, Patrick Brown is out. The Conservatives are in a turmoil. You still got the Liberals doing their thing. You've got Justin Trudeau on a federal level going across the country, and things hit the fan when he got out to BC, you know, where hecklers were getting them, and he just got upset at them, and da-da-da, and all this kind of stuff. Lord, I don't want to get caught up in the soulish way of observing. Lord, what's happening spiritually? What's going on in the heavenly realms? I want to see. And I feel like the Lord's saying, okay, Kevin, what do you see? What do you see here? As you're watching this, what do you see? Oh, what do I see? And he's asking my spiritual eyes. What do I hear? My spiritual ears. That's what counts. So it's like, Lord, I want to grow in that. I want to grow. I eagerly desire, like 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, I eagerly desire spiritual gifts and especially the gift of prophecy. I want to grow in that. I want us to grow in that. As I thought about the 1 Corinthians passage, I think you go a little bit later in the 1 Corinthians 14, and it says, verse 24, but if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everyone is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he's a sinner, and he will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. And that I got that part underlined where the secrets of his heart is laid bare. I don't want prophetic words so that I can freak people out. I don't want to see things so that I can put a little check up there, I'm cool, or I'm this, or I'm that, or think this about me, think that about me. That doesn't matter. It's, Lord, I want him, I want her, I want us all, actually, to just fall at your feet and worship you. I want us to draw closer. And the prophetic is geared towards that, to drawing people close. In the book of Acts, when the book of Acts is quoting from Joel, and about, you know, Peter is preaching, and he says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, I'll pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. It's like, Lord, I want to walk in that more and more. Not that I want to be a prophet. Titles don't matter. It's just, Lord, I want to know what's going on. I don't want to see with my physical eyes. I don't want to judge according to man's way of judging. I want to see more clearly. And so like we said last week, I'm willing to, Lord, lay myself out there, and if I make a mistake, I'll admit it. I'll confess it. I just want to grow. And it's that whole place of, are we willing? Are we willing to be shown our errors? Are we willing for God to come along and teach us and refine us? What do we see? And I love it. I love that we have gotten into the habit of praying for people here. And I want to encourage it more and more. But as we pray, or as we prophesy, or as we speak over someone, or as we give tongue, or as we give interpretation, always that humble place of, can I just say it? We have made mistakes already. Some of the mistakes, I have known that there were mistakes as soon as they came out of someone's mouth. Okay? Some I don't know. I have made mistakes. And some of those mistakes the Lord hasn't told me about yet. And then you might say, well, how do you know they're mistakes then? Because I'm human. Because I'm in process. I guarantee you that I've erred. Other mistakes I know because He's told me afterwards. And He has shown me. I want to just say, that's okay. That's all right. It's okay to make mistakes. And if we have that freedom with each other. So I want us to grow in that. And I want to encourage more and more where if you have a word, if you have something, you know, and maybe you don't want to share it with everyone. That's fine too. Come share it with one person then. And you know, leadership, like Carlene and I are always willing. Larry, Josh is always willing. And not that we have it all together, but it doesn't need to be us either. If you just have a word of, like say for instance, we're worshiping, right? And you get a sense of something going on in the atmosphere, whether it's holy and good or whether it's something coming against us, you know what? Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm hearing this right now. What are you getting? What are you seeing? The person next to you is filled with the Spirit of God. The person next to you loves Jesus. The person next to you wants to see and wants to hear. Just turn to the person next to you. What are you getting right now? I love being able to do that with Carlene. And we'll go somewhere and we'll be somewhere and spiritual atmosphere, like our spiritual eyes are open. And on the way home, sometimes we're just like, so what did you get there? And we'll just bounce things off of each other. And then if it needs to be shared on a wider scale, share it on a wider scale. I also want to encourage, if you feel it, and when I say you feel, I mean, if you get the slightest inclination, okay, that's my definition of if you feel right now in this context. If you get the slightest inclination during the service, during worship, beforehand, afterwards, you know, going to pray for someone or sharing something with someone, go for it. Again, all I would ask is, if it is correctional or directional, be sensitive with that. And I know I would... Okay, so let me give you an example. I'm cautious with that myself. So we go down to Indiana. I'm on the board of elders for Freedom Ministries, right? And so when we go there and Randy says, if anyone gets anything that they want to share, just share it with one of the leadership. Could the elders, Freedom Ministries, raise their hands? I'm one of them that raises my hands. I'm an elder. So like no one's ever come to me at that point, but I'm one of the people that they asked to share it with. Well, if I get something that's even slightly correctional or directional, I bounce it, I go to Randy and bounce it off of him. Even though I have full freedom to share it as an elder, I still don't know. Like, I love confirmation. I love that God has given us to each other. I love that we are a body and we are one. I love that I don't have to live this life on my own or discern on my own. We can discern together. And so if I can get confirmation, and if I can get just a few other people who can look at something, I'll do it. And so that's where, like, we're not power tripping. We're not trying to say we are the be-all. We're trying to protect a little bit, definitely, because, again, words of correction, direction can kind of... Mind you, even in saying that, I think us as a family, because, like, one of the blessings of being a small group is that trust level builds so easily and quickly, I don't think actually there would be a problem. I really don't. And so, you know, it's that place of, yeah, a little bit that's good protection. Okay, so back to then. If you get the feeling, the slightest inclination as we're worshiping, or before we start at 9:45-ish, or after we end, you know, at 12:30-ish, or whatever, if you get the slightest inclination to pray for someone, to share something with someone, do it. Don't worry if there's noise going on. Don't worry if there's other things going on. Don't worry if you're part of the worship man. You know? Go for it. Just go over, pull a person aside, whisper in their ear, share. God wants to speak through you, and God wants to reveal the secrets of his heart to us. I really, really believe that. And do not, here's another thing, do not believe the lie, okay, this is a lie, do not believe the lie that, well, if this is really from the Lord, like, he would tell Kevin to share. Okay? Because he's the pastor. I don't know if any of us carry that kind of baggage still from previous church experiences, okay? But just, I've said it before, I'll say it again, the only reason I'm a pastor is because that's how I'm gifted, and that's my calling. It's not because I know all the secrets that God wants to share. I am only part of the body of Christ. I am not the fullness of the body of Christ. You will see things that I will not. Okay? And it's not because I'm not listening. Okay? The eye sees things that the ear does not see. Because the ear doesn't see. The ear hears things that the nose doesn't hear. Because the nose doesn't hear. That's not what the nose is for. We are all created differently. And you will see things. And who knows, and that's just one of the reasons. There's a plethora of reasons why God might share something with you and not the person next to you. And I don't know all of those reasons. God knows. God fits it all together. So that's why I say practice it, though. And that's where we'll grow in it more as we follow through. And, you know, sometimes it will be a hit. Sometimes it will be a home run. You know, you'll come up and say, I don't understand, but I just feel like I'm supposed to share Psalm 100 right now. And you'll get the person going, yes! Yes! And sometimes you'll have the person just stare blankly at you and say, thank you. At that point, okay, when that happens, not if that happens, when that happens, okay, do not, there's two ditches, always two ditches, right? One ditch is that, well, that person is absolutely spiritually unaware. Well, oh well, I did what the Lord wanted me to do, and they're spiritual, they'll get it one day if they listen to the Lord, you know. Or the other ditch is, oh, I'm horrible. I don't hear anything from the Lord. I never hear God correctly. And, oh, what is that all about? No, that place of, Lord, was that from you? I thought it was from you, but maybe it wasn't. But maybe it was. Lord, teach me. Okay? You have, and you just lay that before the Lord. when we went to a group of us went to the Heidi Baker thing. That's all I know how to call it. I don't know what. But we went to see Heidi Baker at Lake Mount a year and a half ago. I don't know when. Doesn't matter. Carlene and I went to a pastor's thing before that. And in that meeting, some people were prophesying. And one of the people who was there specifically as a prophet, like I didn't know her at all, but I don't run in those circles really. But she came up to me afterwards. "I have a word for you," she said. I said, "Great," you know. And she just said, like, you know, we only had so much time, so because they were picking a few people out. But anyways, "I have this word for you," and she gave it. And it was really neat because, like, Carlene and I just listened, and there wasn't enough time to work through it all with her. Like, and that wasn't needed. I wish I had said something, though, because to help her in her journey. Because she said something about people will come to you for strategy. And then she said, and they'll come to you for business strategy and financial strategy and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, does that hit home a little bit? Does that find the mark a little bit? And I said, well, partly. I think that's what I said, partly. Because the strategy part, I do believe that calling is on my life. I see just how I'm made and wired, seeing things strategically and problem solving. And God has spoken to me about that before. So I was like, that. But the financial and business, it's like, no, that will never happen. And I knew even in that moment, I felt, I hope I'm not in this ditch right now. But like, I felt like God was saying, no, people come to you strategically for, like, even the word about making people jealous in that. Again, I don't want to start leaning towards that ditch of arrogance or anything, but like, how do you guys do it? Like, what's going on in Emmanuel Grace? Like, how do you get what? And I've even talked to some people before, like the freedom that we have and the sharing and all of that, and just sharing our strategies. And really, it's a strategy of relationship and that. But anyways, just sharing that. But the financial part, I didn't think was on. Like, I didn't feel it was from the Lord. And I think part of it was because of her culture, like, and like some of the charismatic Pentecostal culture, and sometimes you get fixated on financial stuff and kingdom now and even moving a little bit towards prosperity stuff, or some people fall into prosperity stuff, but I think sometimes that's where the head goes then. And it's like that was her own stuff. But part of it wasn't. And it's like, okay, I think you're seeing part of it, but I think you're attaching. Just like me with Gateway there, like we're not going to be in this building. I think I was attaching my own stuff to it. Hearing something from the Lord, because I think there was conflict going on in the heavenlies at that point of our journey, but then adding my own stuff to it. Right? Yep.
Yeah, because like, sometimes you don't think it's enough to say what the Lord's saying. So you, and like, I try not to add like that, but sometimes I know I've done that. And it's like, wait, no, that last part isn't from him.
Good. And it's good to recognize those things. It's good. On the flip side, there's one time where we went to a prayer time. I think others from here went. To Kitchener with MB Mission, and a lady named Esther Corbett, we know her, and she has a wonderful track record, for lack of a better word, of hearing the Lord and listening to the Lord. And she was trying to teach on it, or she was teaching on it, and then she got us to do an exercise of, okay, what I want to do is I want a circle of people on the outside, two circles of people, and one facing out and one facing in, and I don't want you to look. And so we would, you know, and then someone would have their back to us. And then the leaders would shuffle people so that you really didn't know, and we didn't know a lot of people either there, you really wouldn't know who's behind you. And then she said, okay, now pray for the person behind you. and ask the word for revelation, you know? And that freaked me out a little bit. It was like, you know, kind of like, that's testing the Lord a little bit. But I trust Esther, and I know her heart a little bit because of our time with MB Mission, and we got to know her. Wonderful, loves Jesus and loves the Lord. So I decided, like, no, I'll submit, and okay, Lord, I think this is from you, because I know her heart is for you. She's not flaky, and she's not weird, and, you know, and so, okay, so I started to pray. And I got this picture in my head, and turned around after, like, so we, like, everyone's praying for their partner, and then, okay, now turn around and share what you saw, or share what you felt. And so I turned and saw this lady that I've never seen before, and I just said, I forget exactly the picture, because it was for her, so she'll remember it probably if you ever meet her, but I can't fully remember it. But it was some sort of action that I had seen in my head, and I phrased it out, and she just said, that's, like, something like, that's what my dad used to do when he tucked me into bed. And it was this exact thing. And then she shared just what it meant to her and what God was saying in it. And it's like, oh, that's cool, you know. And then she shared with me, and I forget what she shared in that. But that's not because it wasn't on. It's just because I have a horrible memory. But it's this place of, Lord, I wanna listen to your voice, and I want to hear. And it's not... Some people would look at that and say, well, that's like fortune telling. I was thinking about that, how I would explain this. Okay. Fortune telling is the counterfeit. Tarot card reading, the counterfeit. The palm reading, that's the counterfeit. That's the unholy counterfeit to biblical prophecy. Okay? And they are tapping in, whether it's, there's frauds out there, of course, but I mean the ones who are really tapping into real stuff. They are tapping into the unholy. They are looking to the demonic to tell them about people, okay? They might not know that it's demonic, but like they are tapping into the demonic to tell them about people. Now, what the church, unfortunately, has done is, because that's unholy, then anything that looks like that is unholy. Where it's like, no, that's the counterfeit. God has the real for us. The secrets of people's hearts can be laid bare. Not that it's us doing it. It's God revealing it. We don't take charge of it. God is in charge of it. But that's the counterfeit. And sometimes we get it all backwards in the church. When a word of prophecy is shared, someone says, well, that's just like the tarot card reader. We never do that with counterfeit bills. You don't have a real $20 bill and say, well, that looks just like the counterfeit, so I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to accept it. We'll never do that. We do the opposite. The counterfeit looks like the real. Am I making sense there? No one says, oh, that looks exactly like the counterfeits. So I'm not going to, you reject the counterfeit, you accept the real. And like we said last week even, it's all about the origin. And so Lord, all that to say, Lord, teach us to hear your voice. Again, we don't get to dictate the terms. It's the Lord who reveals. It's the Lord who opens our eyes. It's the Lord who speaks. He's in charge. But are we willing? Are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we practicing? Are we practicing seeing things as God sees them? Or are we, you know, sometimes it's so easy to judge by the soul, by our own ears and our own eyes, our physical ears, our physical eyes, or our own preferences. And the way to grow in the heavenly, in the spiritual discernment, is stop looking at the world like that. Stop looking at church like that. Stop looking at the family like that. Stop looking at you look at it. Lord, what are you saying in this? What's going on here? Open my eyes. And you practice. Does anyone have questions or comments with that?
So, if a tarot card reader or whatever, like they're not sitting down and going, okay, Lord, show me what this, like they're obviously not thinking that way at all.
Nope.
So the enemy can use them as a counterfeit. If I go before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I want, you know, you show me something, or open my eyes to see.
Yeah.
I may sense or get something that comes from the soul, but can the enemy also come
right
in there? You know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I do. I think depending if he already has a place in our lives, how do I answer that?
Because I know you just said, like, we'll get, like, not everything, like, some of it may be from the soul.
Yeah.
But is there a place for the enemy to take advantage of that?
I think it's from the outside. I think it's from the outside. Because when we talk about discerning in the Spirit, we're talking about discerning in the place of the Holy of Holies. And the only one who lives in your Holy of Holies is the Holy Spirit and your Spirit. There is no, the enemy cannot get in there. Okay? So that is a place of, that is your secret place with God, if you will, where the enemy can't get in. He can get into your soul, okay? We can be demonized as Christians in the area of our soul, so he can have, like, stuff in our emotions and in our will, and like it says in Ephesians, a foothold, okay? And he can definitely lob stuff in from the outside, like thoughts and that, but that's where even it's critical in this to know that place of the Holy of Holies, your spirit. Because a lot of people, I think actually probably the majority of believers, don't know the difference between their body. Well, they know the difference between their body and their soul, but they don't know the difference between their soul and their spirit. And it's so different. So, example. So our guys were out last night, and they enjoyed a wonderful day of skiing, and came home later than we had thought they were going to come home. So talk about generational curses. One of the ones that I've shared here before creeps in from time to time is worry for me. Okay. And I've fought against that and fought against that and tried and tried and tried. And I sorry, I just looked over there. I continue to try and try to overcome this. But the enemy still has a foothold in me, in my emotions, with worry. And he tries to pass it off as discernment. Okay? Tries to pass it off as discernment. But the way I know that it's in my soul is because it starts tugging on my emotions in a very unhealthy way. Okay? And I also know it's my soul when the worry, well, it's worry, first of all, and we're not supposed to worry, so that's directly against Scripture, what it causes in me, and where they come home fine. And everything's fine, everything's good. It's like that's not the Lord, that's not the place of the Spirit. So I start taking note of the characteristics of that place, if you will. I speak in geographical terms here a little bit. Like I take note of when it's wrong or clearly it turns out clearly not to be from the Lord. I start taking mental notes about, okay, well then that's not the Spirit of God. And that's not the Holy of Holies. That's not coming from a place of holiness. Whereas if it's coming from the Holy of Holies, it has all the character of God, and it's true. It's always true. Okay? It's never wrong. So even we were talking about discerning without being critical. Criticalness and my definition of that has more to do with like where this lifting up of self and tearing down of someone else, like that critical spirit, never from God, never from the Holy of Holies. Never. And so it's this place of, okay, we get rid of that. Now, you don't toss it all out. There's a passage in Hebrews that talks about how, you know, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It goes down to even dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And so there can be some correct discernment in there mixed with incorrect. What you do at that point is, Lord, would you weed out the chaff? Would you weed out the unholy? And then you take a renewed look at what's left, if you will. So I want to get rid of all the criticalness, Lord. So if a critical spirit comes into my heart, I know I'm answering more than your question right now, but if a critical spirit comes into your heart as you're discerning something, Lord, forgive me. I repent. I don't want that to be a part of me. But it's still there in my soul. I know it's not in my spirit, but it's in my soul. I want to get rid of it. And because it's just clouding everything. I don't want it. Lord, I thank you for the cross, and I pray that you'd apply what you did on the cross to this right now. You died so that I could be set free from this. And you just go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and repent of it and renounce it and then see what's left. But if it's the enemy, it will be in that place of soul or from the outside lobbing thoughts in, but not in the place of the spirit. Does that all make sense? And it's key to know what your spirit is. Yeah?
I want to go back to Psalm 100 and saying, enter through his gates with
thanksgiving
and his courts with praise. Well, once you go through the gates, the Lord will close them behind you to keep the enemy out.
Yeah.
When you're in the Holy of Holies,
you
will know.
Yeah.
Like that. I hate to use that. You will know that you know that. You know, like that is what it is.
It's true. And that's a great way to actually even get to that place. I know that sounds weird, but get to that place is start worshiping and start thanking. Start thanking and then start worshiping. So we're talking about. And please understand, and if anyone's listening online, that I let's go in the generic sense.
Yeah, but everyone will be like, oh, you're talking about that.
Oh, well. But it's this place of, so you visit a church. So in the past few years, we're gone for Passover, we're gone for Tabernacles. You visit a different church at that point. Or someone invites you to a conference or something, okay? And someone starts worshiping. I was saying to Larry before, we have different cultures. So different culture, you can have nothing wrong with it. It's just some churches have different cultures. Some denominations have different culture than maybe we're used to, you know? You go down south, and to a black Pentecostal church, and you got total different culture than what we grew up with, right? And so you're there, and you're having some trouble because of the culture, and you're not sure what you're discerning with your spirit, what you're discerning with the soul, what's of the enemy. You know what? Just start thanking God. Start thanking God for them. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that I never knew. Thank you for this church here. Thank you that they're preaching the Word of God. Thank you. I saw in the bulletin these things are happening. Thank you for that. Thank you for your love. Thank you for how you protect us. Thank you that your Spirit lives in me and you want to speak to me right now and help me discern. And I praise you, Lord God, and I worship you. And then you will know when you are in that place, when you're in the Holy of Holies, you will know because all unholiness will be gone. Like critical spirit will be gone. Pride will be gone, all these things, and then take a look around. At that point then, when the Lord says, because actually the cool thing about it is you might not even want to look around at that point because you're just so in worship, which is great. So when the Lord then says, now take a look around, then you can discern what's going on. Right? But enter my gates with thanksgiving, enter my courts with praise.
I was just going to add, it's written at the mention of your name, the enemy will flee.
Yeah.
So I think before you ask for a word or direction, that, yeah, absolutely. Have a conversation with the Lord and make sure that it's Him that's there at that moment.
Yeah. And there's so often where I'm in the middle of something and I know something's going on spiritually, but I'm not at a fully right place to discern what. Oh, Jesus, I need you. And not that we don't use Jesus as abracadabra. Like, that's not what it's about. It's about the thing about His name. In Scripture, if you do a study on His name cannot be detached from His presence. And they're one. Like, His name and His presence. It's just, you know, some people tried to use His name, the sons of Sceva, right? But without His presence, the enemy just laughed at them and beat them to a pulp, right? You know? But His name, like, oh, Jesus, I need you right now. And where we come to Him in sincerity of heart and it's like, oh, Lord, just need you. I worship you. I thank you. Thank you that you're my protection. And it's not just repeating phrases. It's like snuggling into Him and just, I need you right now. Yeah.
He indwells the praises of people.
Yeah. So true. So I want us to practice. So then this is. So I'm sure we're going to be talking about this again and again and again. I'm not sure if in the weeks to come, but I want us to grow in hearing. I want us to grow in seeing. And when I say I want us to, I believe the Lord wants us to, and I believe He's saying it for a few different people. And where that clarity, where it becomes more and more clear, and we see more clearly. And again, this is not so that we can pat ourselves on the back. This is not even so that we can say, man, that's cool. Even though that's cool. And it's okay to recognize that it's cool. You know, it really is. When God speaks and when you hear Him clearly, that's pretty awesome and pretty fun. And that's okay. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to walk in a little bit of His awesomeness, you know. But it's for the furtherance of His kingdom. And it's for us to draw closer, and it's for others to draw closer. So I want us to grow in that.
I think it's important to remember, too, that you don't always see what you're prophesying right away.
Right.
Sometimes it's later on, so it's like, I guess it's good to write it down or talk to others.
Absolutely.
Yep. I ask you, for your life, you went to Briarcrest, and there's a lot of things there that you don't apply to your ministry today that you learned there, but you also got a good teaching. You were grounded in the Word.
For
like,
sure.
Like, you have a great knowledge of the Word, a lot more than I've got, I can tell. And that still plays a big part, though.
Huge.
As you are discerning God on these things.
Totally.
Because I know people who go into ministry, they feel led in the ministry, let's say, and we're all in ministry, let's face it, and don't want some of those disciplines.
Yeah.
It is a discipline.
Absolutely.
To get into the Word, I'm not there. But I guess I just wanted to ask you to what role that plays.
I think it's huge. I think, like we've talked about many times before, but like getting in the Word, I'm not sure. I want to be careful because I recognize that there's brothers and sisters around the world who don't have the benefit of having the Word of God in their hands like we do. Okay, and so I'm not going to say that you can't walk out the prophetic and that without the Word of God, like being in the Word of God daily, because there are brothers and sisters around the world, again, who don't have the benefits that we do with the Word of God. But I think that the Holy Spirit makes up for that. You know, even hear stories about angel coming and dictating the book of John to a Mongolian village, you know, a guy in a Mongolian village, you know, word for word dictated the Gospel of John to him. and missionary comes later, and it's like, oh, what happened? Well, this is what happened, you know. So God makes up for it. But being in the Word of God, and this is where we shouldn't separate it so much. There's this lie out there, this false conflict of, well, you're either the Spirit of God or the Word of God, one or the other, you know? And no, the Spirit of God and the Word of God are not in conflict, obviously. And the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God gave us the Word of God, the Scriptures. Being in the Scriptures gives clarity, I think, in our soul, okay, what's going on in the Spirit. It explains to our soul what's going on in the Spirit. And it's benchmarks and almost, I like the way the Final Quest put it, like the vision of the Final Quest, where there's this picture of him on the mountain of God fighting, but every opportunity he got, he took his sword and drove it into the mountain with a hammer, and he tied himself to the sword so that he wouldn't fall off the mountain. And every opportunity he would drive it further in, and the wisdom came to him then and said, it's good that you do this, like you need to do this. And he looks around and other people are falling off the mountain because they're not driving, and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, according to Ephesians chapter 6, because that's where we can get off into flaky land. If we're not in the Word of God, we can get off into false theology and flaky land. And we don't want to be flakes. We don't want to speak lies and falsehoods. And so it's that, how can you say, it's the compass. Like we have the compass, obviously, the Holy Spirit living in us. He's more the captain, actually. Like God is the captain. But the Bible is used as that compass. And that's where sometimes I've been able to say to people, I love it, without even getting into prayer and spiritual, well, although prayer is always good, right? But someone comes and says, oh, God told me this. And I can just say, that was not the Spirit of God. How do you know? Because it goes directly against the Word of God. Anything that goes against the Word of God is not the Spirit of God. Period. That's the 101, like the spiritual discernment 101, if you will. You know, it's that place of, I've heard of pastors, I've never had this, but I've heard of pastors who have heard someone come up to them and say, God wants me to divorce my spouse. The Spirit of God told me I married the wrong person. And it's just like, yeah, that's not the Spirit of God, that's a demon. Or it's your own soul, at best. Best case scenario, it's your own soul, your own wishes. Worst case, it's a demon. It's not God, though. And we need to be grounded in the Word.
Yeah. And just to add to that, Psalm 118:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So when we know his word, it's just a help to us to not walk in sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I know I've been talking for a while. I want us to do something now before we go into worshiping in song. So, I want everyone to pair up. We're not going to do this back to back so you don't know who you're praying with now. But Mel gave a vision a few weeks ago about people praying for each other one-on-one. But what I'm going to ask is just, it's not your spouse, okay? Because you can do that at home. And, like, I'm serious, you know, like, grab someone else, just like we do for praying over someone with their birthday and that, just take a few minutes to ask God, just to ask God on behalf of the other person, Lord, is there anything you want to share through me with the person who's standing in front of me? Okay? I want to say, don't be afraid. I guarantee there will probably be mistakes. Like, you won't get everything right, and that's fine. I want you to hear me. That is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. We just want to grow. Give it humbly. Give it gently. If you want to give confirmation or whatever, please do. If not, don't take it personally. So, find someone. Preferably, if you can, not in your family.